Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent, what are you doing over there today?
6 feet apart.
That's it.
Six feet. Why'd they use six? Couldn't they use 5.5 or 7 or 5?
What happens if you got to slap somebody? You got to get like an extension arm?
I can do a long-handed view of a slap.
A back of the head. Do you do like a virtual slap?
I don't know, man. I mean, I thought you weren't ever going to talk, wanting everybody to listen to Eric Church. He's dropped some pretty good tracks. It's some of his new Hell of a View and stuff like that, man. If you hadn't heard it, check it out.
I actually haven't.
It's really good. Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I think it's all wonky how they deliver music these days. So I think he did his album and wrote all these tracks, and about every 20 or 30 days he just drops a new one out. I don't know when he'll sell the album. I don't know, but every 20 or 30 days I get some texts from people with a link to a new song, and he's got it going on. Pretty wholesome stuff he's talking about too.
2020 Entertainer of the Year.
Like Reagan said, what a weak year to win it.
Oh, man. That was like, well, we should have given this guy the award the last 10 years. Why don't we give it to him this year?
You know, man, I was laying in bed last night with Reagan, and she's like, what are you going to watch? And I'm like, I don't care. I don't watch anything anyway. And she, next thing you know, about 10 minutes later, Sopranos. So,
wow.
I had not seen Sopranos in a hot minute. Not the most family wholesome show.
No, it's not.
But the first thing I noticed was how young Tony looked relative to what I used to think he looked. And then, like, his nephew is real young. Like, he's gang-banging in his 20s.
It's Christopher, right?
Yeah, Christopher.
Yeah.
So, I was like, man.
Did his forehead look smaller than you remember?
I wasn't looking at foreheads, man.
Well, I mean, now we're kind of easing up with probably how old was Tony depicted in that show? Probably mid early 50s.
I guess early 50s.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Christopher, I'm sure, was 20s.
But you kind of think about it. That was what early 2000s, late 1990s kind of time frame. And that was pretty raw back then, right? And you look at that compared to TV nowadays.
Nah, watch an episode. It's still pretty.
It's
raw.
Still pretty. All right. I get them on my Facebook.
That isn't how I live my life. Let me just clear this up. Pastor Pinkson, you hear that?
I hear you, man.
Oh, Lord. So how's the new year starting?
New Year's
with the Roby family of companies, Patrick?
I think New Year's is off to a good start. I know that we're obviously dealing with some COVID concerns across the country and across the state. Hopefully that was just a little bit of a remnant of being people being together to the holidays, and we'll see this thing die out. But we have a lot to be thankful for, Trent. I really believe that, especially being here in this market in Charlotte and in the industry that we're in. I think we're very fortunate.
I'm staying away from politics.
Well, yeah, we're not touching that with a 10-foot.
Like, away.
This is a lighthearted Sunday morning radio show.
I actually now have my excuse to, like, look. I've always said, I don't really go there. Now I'm like, look. What a dumb question. Oh, Lord.
No, I'm with you. I mean, and if you're used to hearing politics on WBT, we're going to give you about an hour of a break. Y'all can talk about that when we're done, TJ. Oh,
yeah. On Sunday morning?
No, I don't think they talk about politics on Sunday morning. But, I mean, heck, you could probably find it anywhere on Sunday morning these days. I mean, that's sort of the issue, isn't it?
I was reading, we'll talk about sports a second. I was reading an article in sports last night. The headline caught me. They either put a NBA team in this NBA, put an NBA team in Kansas City. If they can't get a billionaire to own the team, they'll move it to Vegas. And I clicked on it, read the article. Basically, I think there's 28 teams in the NBA per this article. They're thinking about expanding to 32, okay?
Okay.
To offset the revenue shortage for the teams for COVID.
That's basketball,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Just checking.
The teams, the basketball teams.
Got it. Okay.
Got hit because of COVID season 2020 and probably 2021. Okay. So Jordan paid in 2004
yes, I know what you're talking
$300
about.
$300 million for the Bobcats.
Bob Johnson.
Now the Hornets.
Yeah.
They're saying the price for a new startup team is $3 to $4 billion.
Well, you saw with the Bobcats at work.
Which would return per team, every team they sold to the market would return approximately $180 million per team to offset their losses due to COVID.
Well, don't go crying too hard for these owners now. Okay, there's a Forbes article that talks about NBA ownership as well. I mean, what if you're a billionaire, you should have invested in the NBA.
Did you hear me crying?
No,
I just said
crazy.
I just said Jordan bought a team for $300 million, and it wasn't an existing team. It was a startup because they had moved.
So tenfold.
I mean, $4 billion is like 13-fold. So
that's crazy.
I mean. And I'm over here saying it's a dying thing. Obviously, they got some kind of revenue stream marketing figured out that is over my hammer, nail, 2x4 cinder block head.
I knew we invested our $300 million in the wrong spot.
God, man. I mean, if we'd have invested in 2x4s, we might have done good on that, too.
I think so.
I hear, lumber prices are high.
We got those things stocked away in a special place.
Apparently, there's a Canadian lumber cartel. That's what I heard the other day. They can't work. They got their factories not kind of working half speed because of COVID. Well, they're like, okay, well, that's good. We're making more money half speed than we made full speed. Why not just keep it half speed? All right.
All right, Matthew McConaughey, tee up our guests. Who
all
we got
right.
here today?
We got Tim Wise, entrepreneur hailing from Charleston, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, fellow YPOer. Exciting when we return. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac, along with Trent Haston. We are your hosts. Trent, we had a little fun on the first segment. We always have a pretty good time on the first segment, I feel like. I don't know, last week you went on a little bit of a, you were preaching to us, you remember?
No.
It was good.
I don't.
It was really good. I think TJ and I were pretty, we left pretty motivated after the first segment. But if you missed that, obviously you can catch.
Well, I didn't know where, hold on. Number one, I never knew I had millions, but most or less 300 million. And where did you put it?
I don't know. Buried it in my backyard.
Good gracious.
It's a pretty small backyard to fit that kind of dough in there, huh? No, but if you missed the first segment or really any of our shows, you can go check them out on the podcast, At Home with Roby. I think you just do a Google search, and whoever you want to listen to, there we are. But, Trent, we have another one of your friends from out of town, hailing from Charleston, South Carolina, by way of Wando High School. Tim, that's cool you put that on your LinkedIn, through the University of South Carolina. You didn't tell me that part. But Tim Wise here from Advocate.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
So I met Tim about eight years ago in a hot pool, hot
Uh-oh.
Spring in Costa Rica. That's when we originally met Tim.
I just remember we were getting ready to get on that zip line.
Oh, those are fun.
You agreed to wear the camera. And I said, thank God, because at least that way when I fall and crash, it ain't going to be me.
Did you guys, that's what I first remember. Did you go upside down?
Now, afterwards, we were probably in that hot pool.
Okay, good. Shoo. You know, I've ziplined a couple times. I did it in Canada. I did it in Costa Rica multiple times. And every time I'm scared like a little baby, but I got to do it. And if I go down, I'm going to go down.
No, it's fun. It is, especially.
Well, Brett, if you remember the worst part of that, because this is in Costa Rica, so not quite the same safety protocols as here in the United States. But, the zip lines were that carbon fiber, which was really cool. And so I was like, all right, that's good. But then you had to unhook and then climb up, you know, those iron stakes that were into the rock. And some of those you were kind of, you know, almost like going backwards and you weren't hooked in. I'm like, ooh, this is a little dangerous, a little more danger than I normally would like.
I hear you, but you're a risk taker, right? That's the underlying fabric of a true entrepreneur.
Well, that is true, but that's in business. Physically, I don't like to be a risk taker quite like that, but absolutely in business. I've got four kids, and, it's interesting, and you probably all have kids as well, but you either have rule followers or risk takers. And I got two that are rule followers, and they're great to parent because they generally make good grades. They do what you expect, and then I've got two risk takers, and one is an off the chart risk taker. And my hope right now is just to keep him alive and get him through college. Mm. But if I could do that, he's probably going to be the most successful.
That was my next question. I was going to put you on the spot. Who do you think will be the most successful in business? But you just said it, the risk taker. Everybody's attracted
to him. Well,
he's
either going to be living under a bridge or he's going to be changing the world and making a lot of money.
I hope he doesn't live under a bridge, but I'm sure you're going to love him and try to do all you can unconditionally as a father to help him get along. I think I was that kid in my dad's life.
And look at you today, Trent.
I know, man. I survived, I think, what did – who did we have on the show? He said, I do everything – from 8 in the morning till 8 at night to build up YPO, and I do everything from 8 at night till 8 in the morning to tear it down.
That was an interesting comment there. Yeah, I do remember that.
I don't know if I like that comment. So Tim, did you grow up in Charleston?
I did. As noted, I'm a graduate of Wando High School. So, that used to be a relatively small high school. Today, with all the explosion here in Mount Pleasant, I think they got like 4,500 kids, and all of my kids are now graduates of Wando or on track to, and it's crazy all the explosive growth down here in Mount Pleasant, Charleston.
So what took you to South Carolina as a Gamecock versus Clemson or, College of Charleston? My sister went to College of Charleston.
Yeah, so Trent, I hate to say this, my dream school was the University of North Carolina, going Ooh. To Chapel Hill, and I applied, but they wouldn't have me. So that made it real easy. All my friends were going to South Carolina, and so I just hit the Staples Easy button, and that journey began.
Wow, you know I did graduate from North Carolina, right?
I know that. I put that out there.
I knew that was coming to you.
I really wanted to be like you, but they wouldn't have me.
Tim, if it makes you feel any better, I was a legacy at North Carolina, and I didn't get in either. I grew up in Georgia, but I went to the other school in South Carolina, and that being Clemson. So I'm just checking you out from afar here. I'm listening to what you got to say as a Gamecock fan there.
As you know, I've got many dear friends that are Clemson Tigers, but sure. I was certainly delighted. Delighted the other night to see Ohio State. I am one of those people because I'm unfortunately third generation Gamecock. So
there you go.
A painful existence, but we really can appreciate hope and resilience.
Well, you know what? I will give you this, Shane Beamer. You have a new coach, and so it's a new beginning again at South Carolina. So maybe this time will be the right time.
Well, remember, we got it right once.
You did.
The glory years under Spurrier. Remember those?
Oh, gosh. He dominated us.
That five-year winning streak, although I had to remind my children because at that time they were kind of in that, I don't know, 7 to 12, and they're kind of like, we always beat Clemson. I said, let me show you something. So I pulled up the whole series, and, the 4-0, all the four run streaks by Clemson, and 45-0 in 1989 and 63-17. And
oh, yeah.
I was just explaining all that pain. Well, obviously, the pain has begun again, and I don't see any end in sight.
Well, I mean, I think you have a good coach, and I like Shane Beamer. I think his dad, obviously, Frank Beamer, Virginia Tech, was a wonderful person, great coach. So, I am not one of those Clemson fans that holds a real big grudge to South Carolina because I didn't grow up in the state. So I want y'all to be 10-0 or 11-0 or whatever you are and play us and we beat you, just like probably I would assume you're the same way. But it's a good, healthy rivalry. I mean, we have our ups and downs.
So what'd you study at South Carolina?
Well, Trent, so I was a pretty good student, and even though North Carolina wouldn't take me, but yeah, we know how it works in state, right? It's kind of a layup to get in North Carolina, but out of state, you better be a really good student. But I had a dad who really encouraged me to go get a business degree. My dad was a political science. He, you know, really enjoyed that, and that kind of, you know, came down to me. But he said, yeah, go get a degree you can actually make money with. So I went and got a finance degree with and a real estate major as well. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to graduate in 3.5 years.
Dang.
So I took that and went and did Aspen, Colorado for 6 months. And, you know, I try to encourage all these young people that, you know, you gotta take those gaps where you get them. You know, we hire a bunch of kids out of Georgia Tech, and they're high wired, and and they're like, graduating, May 1st and want to start May 2nd.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like,
tell us you're gonna be here in September. Go do something. But I went and did that. But through that journey, and again, you'll hear a lot of influence from my dad. But he was a very successful lawyer, and so. Yeah, I was considering law school, and he's like, no, go get an MBA. You don't want to be a lawyer. That's a really painful way to make a living, although he was very successful at it. But, you know, I had a finance professor who said, go get a law degree. It'll help you more. So that's what I went and did. And, I was pretty good, student in law school. So on the other side of that, I ended up at Nelson Mullins, which is still one of the largest law firms, not only in South Carolina, but the Southeast. And they gave me the opportunity to come to Charleston, which at the time was awesome because there were only 13 lawyers. And I actually got to practice law for about 3 years and learned a ton, but always in the back of my mind, looking for that opportunity to get into business. So, that's kind of my journey, from the educational standpoint.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I study successful business folks and read books, I mean, a lot of them have the master's or, a law degree. I think it really benefits. I think I would have enjoyed going to law school. I don't think I would enjoy being a lawyer. Tim, that is awesome. If you can hang tight, we're going to go pay some bills, and we'll pick back up once you stop being a lawyer. How about that?
I'm all in.
You're listening to At Home with Roby. Our guest today is Tim Wise.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac, along with Trent Haston. We are your hosts.
I think TJ's goal every time he plays a new song is to try to get me to want to hang out the rest of the day with him.
And just distract you.
I mean, I'm always like, what are you doing? He's like, I got to work. What are you doing? I'm like, I got to work too.
You can listen to music and work at the same time. Multitask.
Yeah. Nah. Hey, Tim. What a story. You are a lawyer. I knew I didn't like you. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke. A business joke.
No offense taken.
Yeah. No. At least you're not a banker. How about that? but during the break, we were chatting, and I remembered you had, I thought you had twins or triplets. Now, you have triplets, right?
That's right. Yeah. So, that journey, after being a lawyer, I had the opportunity to get into business, and that took me to Atlanta in 1997 and really got to be a part of, that whole dot-com boom. And depending on your age, but I'm 51, and during that dot-com boom, I was basically, call it 26 to 29. Mm. And it was just an amazing time, in business and specifically in technology. And so, got to Atlanta, got out of being a lawyer, and really, got to, experience a high growth entrepreneurial company. It was called RapidLink. And, we were a part of growing that from, at the time, maybe 15 million and to almost 60 million by 2002. Now, what was also going on at that time, was just insanity around valuations, and you learned a lot from there. We had a company in 1997 that was growing and profitable, but all the bankers at the time said, you know, profit doesn't matter. All that matters is top-line revenue growth. And that was actually a true statement. That's where, you know, the Yahoos of the world and others, and, you know, Mark Cuban was probably the most prolific in that sense, and that, you know, he sold his company to Yahoo for like $2 billion, and he put $1 billion in cash. But then the, you know, the music stopped, and, you know, if you couldn't find a chair, you were out. And so that was just an incredible part of my early business journey. And towards the end of that, ended up, you know, my wife was a pharmaceutical rep, and we finally had our first child. It happened to be a son in November of 2000. And, of course, her mission was, I want to be a full-time mom. And, you know, by February, I was out at RapidLink. So I went from double income, no kids, to no income, one kid. And trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I thought about going back and maybe getting an MBA since I was a good student. I had a mentor who just said, no, you've got a real-world MBA. You've got more education than you need. Mm-hmm. You just got to start a business. And I'm like, well, what am I going to invent? And he goes, I want to tell you a story about ice. You know, I've got a friend of mine who is in the ice business. And Tim, you or I could make ice. You or I could probably, on a hot summer day, put that ice in a bag, go up on a street corner and sell it to someone. My friend figured out how to do that better than anyone else in Southern California, and this also happens to be the wealthiest friend I have. You just got to go figure out your ice. And that was the, you know, the kick in the butt I needed, the inspiration. So with that, we started Advocate July 31, 2001. And at the time, I had a partner in this business. We each raised $100,000 from friends and family, and we basically had 12 months to figure it out. Well, 45 days later, 9/11 happened. And if you recall, I mean, the economy stopped. And I like to say, you know, fear is the ultimate motivator. All businesses are the same. You know, relationships, knowledge, and solving problems. But there are two emotional motivators. One is optimism. That's what most people associate with the entrepreneur. You know, we're going to be the best at this or a leader in that. But it's ultimately fear that's the much more powerful motivator. And so we made it through 9/11. We got focused on cash flow, and there's a whole nother topic on cash flow and bootstrapping that, you know, we could spend a lot of time on. But, you know, to answer your original question, then, you know, 15 months into that journey, we had triplets. So we had four kids in less than 23 months and starting a business. There was no greater fear or motivator than that.
Wow.
Unbelievable. So resilience.
Yeah, four children. Wow, four young adults, if I'm doing my math correctly. You do have your hands full. I see y'all on Facebook a fair amount. You got a beautiful family. What is Advocate? What was your ice? I mean, what was the goal to grow there?
Yeah, so it was a journey on, and on the beautiful kids, you know, Trent, rule number one is marry up.
I heard that.
So, and then, you know, through that early part of that journey, you really have to have faith, right? You're just like, God, what are you doing to me? Like, can I really do this? And you know, that's where we just said, you know, we're going to put one foot in front of the other, and we did it. But to answer the question around Advocate's ICE, it was ultimately – you know, around technology and really helping companies, you know, buy technology better in its simplest form. So like today, you fast forward now almost 20 years. This year is our 20th anniversary year for Advocate. You know, we really help companies, you know, basically save money around technology, but we also help them figure out how to invest in those new technologies because, you know, what we believe is technology is changing the world. We believe that every company is trying to invest more in technology, not less. And certainly 2020 accelerated all of that.
Yep. So leverage technology to get a better return and then also lower your cost on the front side.
That's right. And I think as a part of that, it's also innovating. So just think about, I think one of the best examples is our collective relationships with the airline. And since we're an Atlanta company, I'll choose Delta. mm-hmm. you know, 10 years ago, right, it was all paper. Had to print it off and, you know, take it to the airport. But now, right, it's all digital, and mm-hmm. it's all through our iPhones. And now, right, you get on the airplane, it sends you a notice that your bag's been loaded. You get off the airplane, it's your bag's coming up on the, you know, the carousel. And that's fundamentally different than how it was in the past. And that's where I think you're going to see every company continue to, and ultimately that's about a better experience for the customer.
Yep. More efficient, easier to record.
Absolutely.
No, that's, man. So your oldest child is 20, and I guess your triplets now are 18?
Yeah, so the triplets are seniors in high school. I actually had them all finish in December because of this crazy educational environment. And I told them they've already started. They're going to go get a real education. That's a 40-hour-a-week job between now
there
and
you
August
go.
When they go to college.
Where are they going off? You said we're going off to school in August?
Yes.
Where are they headed?
Yeah, so the oldest is a sophomore at the College of Charleston, so unfortunately he didn't go far. I encouraged him to go far, but he wanted to stay close. And then the triplets, so my son is going to go to Belmont. He's got this music gift. We've not figured out where it came from, but Belmont's in Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brad Paisley's a famous alumni, but really known for their school of music and music business. So super excited for him because Nashville's just on fire and he's got that gift. And then I've got two daughters. One, unfortunately, is either going to go to Auburn or Georgia. And then the last one will probably be a Gamecock. So one out of four will follow in those shoes of being a South Carolina Gamecock, most likely.
Sounds like you raised some really smart kids.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, man.
Is there J-O-B at Advocate? Are you planning on any of them working some at Advocate?
No, heck no. They're learning the hard way. I really want, like, my oldest son thinks he wants to get into real estate, so I've got, like, a custom home builder similar to you, Trent.
Oh, there you go.
I'm like, go work for him. Understand construction and the cost of construction. But he's like, well, they start at 7 a.m. I'm like, yes, it'd be good for you. But the triplets, they're all kind of more food and beverage and retail. Thankfully, here in Charleston, our economy is pretty open, so you know there's lots of demand for those type jobs, and I think that's a great place to start because you learn customer service, you learn the basics of how a business operates.
Man, that is awesome. Well, I mean, we could do this for hours and hours. Tim, tell us how people can look you up and find you.
Sure. So feel free to pop in, you know, Tim Wise on LinkedIn. Love to connect. I'm a big believer in relationships and happy to pay that forward. So, I'm a big believer in, you know, that's what we all have to do. And then, you know, our company is Advocate and our URL is AdvocateInsiders.com. You know, so feel free to hit me there as well.
Advocate Insiders, plural. With the S.com. Tim, thanks for being here. You've been so, it's been so educational and so
Agreed.
Fun. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac along with Trent Haston. We are your hosts.
Some Jack and Diane. Now that's Reagan.
We've got
I
some
mean,
good
that was
music.
Like I used to sing that song, that and Brown Eyed Girl, I'd sing to Reagan.
Let's hear you do it. No, it's not.
A little ditty about Jack and Diane.
Oh man!
You know we sing when I used to take the kids to school. We would sing the national anthem, and so I was proud. I learned the national anthem because I never really knew it by heart until these exercises with the kids. And then we're riding with Reagan one day, and I said, "Let's go through our morning routine." And I'm singing, and she goes, "You need to quiet down. You can't hear the kids as much." And I'm like, "Huh?" I'm like, I'm into it. She's like, that was like my sixth grade chorus teacher.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Told me she'd take me to contest and let me wear a cummerbund and a bow tie if I lip sing during class. I was her page turner.
We have told that story before, but good for you.
I don't know if I've ever told this part of the story. Hey, my godfather, my mentor, Tim Robinette, Mouse's brother, gets married and gets. I guess he didn't really have a part in the wedding, so I was the page turner.
There you go.
Dang.
But very forward thinking to join chorus in the sixth grade. That's the good play there. Because I bet you it's probably, what, 90% female, 10% male? Were you the only guy?
I don't know. I was in band that was across the hall.
You were what
playing the snare drum.
There you go.
Oh, I was the most improved band member. I guess that means I was really bad with the snare.
But at least you got better. I have not one ounce of musical.
I think all I was in the sixth grade was a suck up.
Where'd you get that from?
I don't know. I was just trying to do good. I was a do-gooder at that point.
I hear you. Maybe that's where your kids get their violin skills, is from your sixth grade chorus.
Dude, I have zero rhythm.
I have none. I mean, people that do, it's so fascinating to me. We talked about that before, because I think it's one of those things you can either do or you can. And those that can, it's so unbelievable just to watch.
Wonder if Tim Wise has any rhythm.
He
isn't even here to defend himself.
He might.
Let's throw him under the bus for a couple minutes.
At a 1 to 10, what do you think his rhythm is? I got a 4.
I think he's a 7.
7.
He seems to tap his foot. I've seen him tap his foot before.
Tap his foot. Did he throw like the snap in the air kind of guy?
No, this is just during our conversation. I think we created a little rhythm in how we were dialoguing.
Got some juice flowing.
He's like, oh, yeah, Advocate,
Well, he was talking about what he does at Advocate. And like, I love it when we have guests that come on the show that are able to explain things that we take for granted. Like, when's the last time you printed a boarding pass?
Dude, these technology guys are over my head.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I'm going to stick with cinder blocks.
Well, you said 2x4s earlier.
I mean, his ice storage, I resonated with that.
I did too.
Like,
I did too.
You know, kind of like selling ice to an Eskimo.
Gotcha. Not many Eskimos in Charlotte.
That means you're a really good salesman.
That's it.
Or woman.
I hear you.
That was cool, man. First guest we've ever really had in 6 years that really talked about the dot-com boom.
That's a good point. I mean, and you and I were really too young to be part of that. You were like right there in the snip of things.
I was in it, man. I bought me a share of Microsoft. That's what my father-in-law gave me for my birthday. One share of Microsoft.
That's where you got that $300 million we buried on the first segment.
Listen to this. One share of Microsoft, I think, in 98.
What would it be worth now?
Well, I turned it in a couple years later to my broker, but I still get a thing from Microsoft that says I still have the share. It's worth $388, one share. That's called value investing for the long term. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It was $22, $28, and now it's $380 or something.
Well, that's after splits and all
this.
Yeah,
rubbed it down, but it's 22 years.
Rubbed it down.
How about that? You got to rub on that thing, get it right. But in 22 years, that's a 12-fold return. And I remember after the dot-com bust, it was only worth like $10. Like, great gift your daddy got me. Poor Wes. That's what I was telling my wife. She still married me. Goodness, I've got you speechless, Patrick.
You do. I don't know what to say to that.
Since when have you been speechless?
It's happened.
This is the ethical question, though.
Right.
Did my broker, because now, it's gone in the lost in the sea of what transactions happened. Did my broker sell it, or should I call Microsoft, tell them my $388?
Why don't you call Bill Gates?
I've had a couple rough nights thinking about that.
I hear you. I got you. I got you. But you know what?
I'm sure Bill Gates won't miss it on either side.
It was also interesting. He said that profit was just doesn't even matter at that point. Like profitability in those days,
that's our business too, right?
That's exactly how we feel. No, but I mean, think about that.
I thought that was a family business.
What's that?
Profit didn't matter. Just grow.
Where is the profit? No, I'm just joking. But that is interesting. You talked about Mark Cuban who's selling for $2 billion and got $1 billion in cash.
That's why he can TV show.
He buried it in my backyard.
And he can have a TV show. My kids love
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's corny. No, that's good. It's entertaining. So there's one you got to pay for it, so we haven't done it, but it's like the Texas version of Shark Tank, and Matthew McConaughey's brother is very successful apparently in business. I did not know this.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's one of the guys. He's the Mark Cuban on that show. So I need to go. I told Reagan, I said, put this on the list. We got to watch it. The kids will love it. And she said, well, it's like 99 cents.
So that is the second Matthew McConaughey reference of the show.
I mean, he's on my mind.
All right.
All right. All right. Right, all right.
All right.
With his hair plugs.
There it is.
God bless your hair plugs, Matthew.
There you go.
We hope you had fun today. We had Tim Wise on with Advocate out of Atlanta. He hails from Charleston. Great show. Learned a lot. Listen. Take a smile on your face out today and go do the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Thanks for listening to At Home with Robie.